Frenzy.
I'm Melissa Carter.
And I'm Jen Hobby. The Frenzy is here to change the conversation around age.
So that you can celebrate all your years rather than lie about them.
We celebrate real stories by real women in the hope that you'll share your story too.
I'm Melissa, and I am a blood donor, so I'm one donation away from my first gallon so far.
Wow, that's awesome.
I also gave blood yesterday, so I'm a little lightheaded today, so this should be a fun show.
This will be a great show. I'm Jen Hobby, and I believe that everyone should be a restaurant server at least once in their lifetime, because from there, you will always make eye contact with your server, and you'll be a good tipper.
Very nice. Yeah, I did not do that job. I will say that. Coming up on today's episode, you're going to hear extraordinary stories of overcoming circumstance. You'll hear from this dynamic, resilient woman who beat the odds.
Yes, our featured guest is Araya McGarry. She is a sought-after motivational speaker, master coach, and best-selling author. Araya is an Emmy Award-winning TV host of Live Your Legacy TV, and she's a cancer and domestic violence survivor.
Yeah. Plus, Jen has a pep talk to give you a peek into her toolbox for overcoming big struggles. Plus, we encourage you to tell your unique overcoming obstacle story to someone that you trust.
Have you subscribed to the Frenzy podcast yet? Why not? It is totally free. So if you have subscribed, we want to say thank you so much. And could you share the news and tell the friend about the Frenzy? We would really appreciate that because we want more women to hear these real stories connecting real women. So, Melissa, before we get into Araya's story, how does the idea of beating the odds resonate with you?
So the funny thing is, this just recently happened with my six-year-old son, Mr. Carter. Okay, so Mr. Carter and my baby mama, Katie Jo, are on vacation as we speak at the beach. And it's the first time that he's been to the beach since before the pandemic. So he's about a year or so ago when he went to the beach the last time. He went into the ocean and the ocean slapped him down, right? Mm. And he was mad at the ocean. And he's like, I'm never going to the ocean again. And so for this trip, I was like, are you excited? Because the beach is one of my favorite places to be. I'm like, anytime you get to go to the, because he wasn't excited about going. I'm like, anytime you get to go to the beach, you should take the opportunity. It's just a wonderful thing. He's like, well, I'll go, but I'm not getting in that ocean. I can tell you that right now. So so I got a FaceTime from him the other night. And it was telling me, well, I went to the ocean and I'm not afraid of it anymore. Awesome. And so my practical son, that's it. So it's just like, I was afraid of it before. I'm not afraid of it now. I'm going to go play my game. I love you. Good night. See you later. And there was no explanation. However, when you talk about what does it mean to me beat the odds? So in my mind, what I didn't get to experience, and nobody gets to experience with each individual, is what story he told in his own mind, what perception he changed to be able to not be afraid anymore, like to be proud of my son for the conversations in his own mind as he's in the sand, approaching the water, what he's going to do with the water, and that he evolved to the point of, I'm not afraid of you anymore. And there's a mantra that goes in there. And Jen, of course, later on is going to give us our mirror mantra, but that's what it makes me think of. And that's what I reflected on, is that's one of the reasons you can't, you know, protect your kid from everything, is because they need to be able to self-sustain. They need to self-soothe, right? We hear that about babies, but we do it with ourselves. And so beat the odds for me. I mean, I've talked about my kidney transplant story. So to answer your question about what it means to me to beat the odds, is the way you beat the odds is not a hindsight story of, oh, well, I struggled for 5 years before I had my transplant. You know, people who divorced, oh, well, I was in a terrible marriage for so many years, and then I got divorced. And then that's the end of the story. No, how you beat the odds is that every single day, there's 24 hours in a day, there's 7 days in a week. And if you're going, that's a lot of weeks in 5 years to have to tell myself, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. So beating the odds to me is your relationship with yourself. It has nothing to do with the outside. And so my son's relationship with himself is developing to the point now that he is not afraid of the ocean. And so that's what I think about beating the odds. It's an internal thing. 80% mental, 20% physical. Every
time.
So
good. That's so good. And, you know, I was thinking about your kidney transplant and how you survived that too. You know, remembering that not only did you survive a pandemic, but you survived your kidney transplant. You've survived a lot of things on the past. And I think relying on that knowledge that you've experienced hard things and you got through those can boost your confidence, right?
Yes, absolutely. And you have to remind yourself of that. You have to celebrate the victories. Mm-hmm. You know, Jen and I were once a part of a team where somebody on the team had said to us, I wish we'd stop to celebrate our victories more in the success that we had. And I'll never forget that expression, because I have taken that with me throughout my life. It's like, just because you get through something, you know, a lot of people are afraid to look back on it and reflect on it because they don't want to go back to that place. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, just like you said, you were in that place and you got past it, and you should stop and celebrate the victory of that. So I do celebrate mm-hmm. the victory of surviving a kidney transplant. I do, and I am, and I will continue to celebrate the victory of getting through a pandemic. Because if you're alive right now and listening to this, you should celebrate that, because so yeah. many people didn't make it and you sacrificed to be able to survive. And so, you know, it doesn't matter what age you are. And for my 6-year-old, I mean, for many of us, it's like, oh, it sounds silly that, you know, the ocean waves are going to make you scared. You know, kids are afraid of the dark. They're afraid of the ocean. They're afraid of their own shadows. They're whatever it is. That's also in their mind, they're having to get through a dark place for themselves, and they should be celebrated for getting past it. And I think a lot of parents need to pay attention to that, that it doesn't have to be something that is, you know, traumatizing or this big, massive experience, like, again, you know, a physical illness. It can be something as simple as, I conquered the ocean. Mm-hmm. And so when my son gets back to town, I'm absolutely going to stop and explain to him, you need to celebrate the fact that you did that by yourself.
The ocean is a great symbol for all of us. Whatever mm-hmm. it is that you have to overcome, whether that's fear, whether that's a past experience, something you're going through now, the ocean's just a symbol, right? I love that your 6-year-old's given us this great analogy for any sort of obstacle to overcome, is that you got to coach yourself through it and you can overcome it.
I mean, beating the odds means that you face it. You do what you got to do, but you do it in inch by inch by inch by inch. And that confidence that Jen talks about is the very thing that you need to get through it. And it will build your confidence.
See, the frenzy is where you can hear the real story at this stage of life. And just remember that you're not alone. We celebrate all of our stories together here on the frenzy. And Melissa, I know we talk about our own stories and we get to have mm-hmm. this awesome platform where we get to hang out with each other, which I love.
Yeah.
And we get to share our stories. But talk about, what's the importance of someone else sharing their ocean story with someone trusted in their life?
It changes in its meaning every time we talk about it, because it is so dense. The meaning of that is so dense. To know your own story is so important. It's, and to be able to express yourself is so important. But for me, it's getting to know yourself. Like, I do think, as women, so many times in our lives, we've chosen to dismiss ourselves to take care of somebody else. And in the moment, we have to. As mothers, we have to. As wives, sometimes we have to. As community leaders, sometimes we have to. But there is a danger in losing who you are. Mm-hmm. And if you can't answer the question, what is it you want in life? Who are you? Like, who are you? Not wife, not mother. Like, so if I say that I'm a mother of my son, well, yeah, but that's attached to my son. Who am I? Who is Melissa? And sometimes that question is harder to answer. So when we talk about storytelling and we talk about telling your own story, sometimes in telling those stories, like when I talk about my transplant or I talk about the pandemic, or there are times within telling the story that I think to myself, man, I can't believe I did that. You know, and it's almost like, oh my gosh, I'm like my own hero. So I think that's the important, is to learn to be your own hero, because your story is just as important as somebody else's, but it's most important to you. Your story is more important to you than anybody else's story is to you. It should be. And I don't think it is. And so that's why I think, you know, being able to express yourself and knowing yourself is vital, because your life will only improve through it.
I love that. So ask yourself today, what about your story? Like, what is it that you've overcome, and how could you identify that within yourself? Like Melissa said, getting to know yourself, that discovery, or who is it that you could share that story with?
Right. But you are about to hear the jaw-dropping story of how our guest, Araya McGarry, beat the odds. First, let's thank our sponsor.
Cancer sucks, and finding out your best friend, your coworker, or your family member has cancer sucks even more. You start to think, what can I do to help? Well, the answer is Kick It Pajamas. Designed by cancer survivors and caretakers, Kick It Pajamas is clothing for those undergoing cancer treatment, either in the hospital or in chemotherapy. Their pajamas and clothing are stylish and comfortable and functional for IV lines and other medical treatment. Go to kickitpajamas.com to stylishly dress your loved one for their battle. With every purchase, a portion of proceeds goes to supporting cancer research and support groups. Kickitpajamas.com and use the discount code FRENZY, FRIENDZY, to get 10% off your order. That's kickitpajamas.com, discount code FRENZY. Let's kick cancer off the planet. Our featured guest today is Araya McGarry, a sought-after motivational speaker, best-selling author, founder of Live Your Legacy Summits, and she's coined the term for being a cancer and domestic violence survivor. So please help us welcome our dynamic, unstoppable new friend, Araya McGarry, to the Frenzy.
Hey, I'm so excited to be here. Woohoo!
So Araya, if somebody is just hearing you for the very first time, can you give us a little bit of your background on how did you become an Emmy award-winning TV host and now CEO of your production company? Give us a little bit of your background. Where did you get started?
Well, I was born at a young age. And, well, to make a very long story short, it did happen from an obstacle. So I really do love giving women hope that you can overcome things and that could become your mission, like your tragedies turn to testimonies and all that. But in 99, on my 38th birthday, and I know you guys love talking about age, so we're going to talk about age right now. And I think your legacy doesn't even begin to your 40s. So ladies, you know, just... you know, you're going to arrive at 40 and then just keep getting better and better. So get ready for that. And at 38, I got diagnosed with cancer. And during that surgery, they took out half of both my lungs and my thymus gland, the lining around my heart, disconnected half my diaphragm. And then they removed the left nerve to my vocal cord and guaranteed me I'd never speak above a faint whisper ever again. It would be impossible. Well,
wow.
Impossible. Okay. Let's see, either I'm not going to speak again and I'm going to live my life. And at the time I was driving winning pink Cadillacs. I was in direct sales and I was 99. We didn't have emails and social media. I mean, I had to get on the phone and people would hang up on me. They thought I was an obscene phone call. I went into chemo. It almost killed me. And that's a true story. I was very, very sick on chemo, throwing up 18 times a day. And then when all that was over, I knew I still didn't have a voice. I could barely speak, but I knew God had a purpose for me. So I wrote a book, I Won't Survive, I'll Thrive. While I was doing that book, I went on a book tour. I was doing news shows. I love TV. I don't know if Melissa told you, I used to do soap operas. Come from New York City. I wanted to be a rich and famous actress. And I wanted to, that was my world. I love that. And when I went on the book tour, I did all the news shows. It was so much fun. I loved being on TV again. But I realized it was such bad news. And I would be coming on with my Pollyanna, good, you know, good story book that you can do it right after they just told a story of a husband shooting his wife and three kids 3 days before Christmas. And I'm like, there's got to be more people doing good in this world than bad. But I'm sure that's just not newsworthy. So I said, I want to start a show that talks about good news. And I thought to myself that who better than the nonprofits, the ones giving their life, giving back, whether it's saving children or women or vets, there's good stories to be told. My husband used to be a stuntman. So I said, do you know how to put on a show? Because I've always been the actress, not the producer. He goes, no. He goes, do you? I'm like, no. Great, let's do it. Perfect business plan. And so we did. We just started telling good stories. And I just tell women, start. If you have a dream, start. Because we met the right people as we went forward. I would never want you to see that first interview I did in a little schoolhouse here in Cumming that let me do it for free, two heads talking. It was probably, I had a high school person doing the filming, you know? But it led to, you know, the 21st episode in 1 year that was the Ron Clark Academy, the 22nd episode that won me the Emmy. Because when you're doing what you love, I just really am an encourager. Just start. And if it's not meant for you, the doors will shut. Okay, so you tried, it didn't work. That's right. You get a lot of that. But you don't know if you can be the next award-winning whatever you want to be unless you give it a whirl. And if you have it in you that you want to do it and it excites you, then that's kind of a sign. It's something you could do. And do it, because, you know, I met all the right people along the way that took me to the next level. Did I run out of money? Absolutely. Did I get another opportunity to do something else? and then find the money? Absolutely. So miracles happen, but they can't if you sit around thinking, I'm too old, I'm too this, I'm too that, I'm too late. It's too crowded out there. Just stop, just go, and you will surprise the heck out of yourself. So at 48, I won my little girl dream of being able to say, I'd like to thank the Academy.
Yes. Look at that.
Who can't? You know, now I'm going to be 60 this year, and it just got better and better. So go team and go over 40. It's awesome. The water's great. Come on in.
All right. So Araya, we talk about representation matters. And I think that in this case, what's not being talked about is representation of women over 40 who are succeeding at something they started after 40 and continuing to have a greater and greater life as they age. And so you're a testament to that because before 40, like you mentioned, and there's even other stories where you had obstacles in your way. You talk about the pink Cadillacs and being a salesperson. Well, Ray and I met at a domestic violence rally because Araya had experienced domestic violence. And so you had all this happen before 40. We're talking about things you have every reason in the world to have given up. You have every excuse in the book where nobody would judge you for giving up, yet you did not. So maybe talk to women who are over 40 who probably feel like I've given up, I'm too old, I'm too tired, I'm all this. What do you say to these women to get them started, like you mentioned?
Yeah. Well, absolutely. Well, you have to have a why, a reason. And I've never had the luxury of not going on. I mean, I'm not, there's no silver spoon in my mouth. You know, when my dad was murdered, my silver spoon left because he was the provider. So since 15, if I don't bounce back, what happens to me? You know, I know we've got that in us as women. We are caregivers. There's always somebody we want to help and support. So whatever your why is it for you? Is it for your retirement? Is it for your kids? Is it for college? Whatever it is, you've got to find that big why that's so much bigger than if everything goes wrong today. That's so much bigger that if somebody says no to you today, because it's got to take you through that. And I've always had big whys. You know, my daughter's to have gone to private school. And then when everybody would say no to me, they didn't want a facial. They didn't want this. It's like, it's just some will, some won't. So what next? And it's over, under, around, or through. But you won't have that tenacity unless you know why you were doing it. And usually for women, there's somebody else in our life that really needs us and that we're going to do it. But if not, well, you know, what's going to happen to you if you don't? And if this doesn't work, try something else. Because we just don't have the luxury to sit back and not, you know, who puts food on the table or how do we feel fulfilled? Even if you're being, let's say, taken care of and you've got wealth around you and you don't need the money, then somebody else does. Find a cause, find a nonprofit that since you are established financially, people can use your talents and gifts because they don't have access to that. So you can totally have such a wonderful footprint in the world, but that has to be your why. You can't live somebody else's why or passion. So whatever it is, that'll get you started and get you through.
So tell us about your health struggle and going through this cancer. There had to be days where you were just wiped out.
Oh, death's door.
How do you come through a struggle like that? What's one of the biggest lessons you learned from that time?
Oh, family and love and friends and support. You know, I would say the surgery, as horrible as it sounds, was easy. When I woke up from surgery, you know, I had the scary diagnosis, but I got over it pretty quick. I couldn't speak, but, you know, I didn't feel bad. I was like, okay, that wasn't bad. A couple of weeks later, they put me into chemo. And I know, Jen, you're a cancer supporter too, an advocate. And I hate to see children going through this because I threw up 18 times a day for 10 days straight. I would lose 10 pounds overnight. Not the diet I wanted. And I'd be so sick. I'd be passing out. And just as I was feeling better, like a human, and you feel metal inside you, it's horrible. Then it'd be time for the next dose. And they literally thought I was going to die from the chemo, even though the cancer was curable, but they didn't want to half the dose or play with it. Cause they said, you're so curable. You can just make it through this. So a lot of prayer, a lot of family, people taking care of my family. Cause I couldn't even smell food. If I heard the blender, I would throw up. And it's nothing you can do to help this. And there's most of the days I was wrapped around the toilet bowl in the bathroom, not knowing which end it was going to come out of. And my golden retriever sitting by my side, not moving for 6 months. And my husband, Brian, taking care of my daughter, Angel, at the time, who was just in eighth grade, I believe. And just everybody doing for you. So that support system is vital. It you know that you're not needed. All you need to worry about is getting well. And it really, really helped. And all the prayers, I felt every prayer for sure. So you just got it one day at a time. When you have cancer, it's a moment at a time. I need to get through this moment and it's okay. But when other people love you and are praying for you, you feel it. I really felt the love during that time. I felt the prayers and I knew people were there for me. And they'd call, they'd come by and, you know, they'd bring the food to the door. My husband would bring it back outside. She can't smell anything. Oh, there's still food. Right. But at least I knew they were being fed. So if you know someone through it, support
to receive help is hard.
It is. Because yeah. When you're that sick, you really like, you know, you give up. It's like, do whatever you're going to do. You're just not micromanaging at that moment. And I'm a micromanager sometimes, most of the time. And it's like, whatever needs to happen. All I could deal with was the bathroom was my home for 6 months. And I had to be hospitalized for 5 days after every chemo. That's how sick I was. So I was in the hospital. They finally figured out, they hooked me up to IV liquids, just potassium. I wouldn't throw up so violently for so long. And when I'd get home, I'd only throw up for 3 days instead of 10. Wow. So it was a song and dance that,
Do you feel like you now really respect your health more than before? Like, I know Melissa, after her kidney transplant, really was like, wow, my body is this temple and I need to take really good care of it. And I know you also feel so blessed to have life. Do you feel like that after going through something so hard?
I definitely feel that life appreciation. So every day I'm so glad to be alive. I really started living my legacy, living on purpose. All that started after cancer, for sure. And I'm probably in very normal where after the chemo, I spent $1,000 a month on vitamins and nutrients and coffee enemas and colon cleansing, all of that, going, making sure you rebuild. That lasted maybe a year or two. And then you start getting back to kind of, you know, I eat healthy. I don't, you know, smoke or drink or anything. Well, drink socially, but I mean, there's nothing I do that's like out of the norm, that's unhealthy. I'm not a fast food eater and that, but I like my chocolate, Miss Lissa knows. I know, I got it. You know, I'm not out there jogging and exercising like I would, because, you know, I don't get breath. It's hard for me to breathe. So exercise isn't as enjoyable as it used to be. So I'm not an avid health guru, but I definitely appreciate life and I do the right things and eat the right things and take vitamins and stuff, but I'm not over the top, but I'm taking good care of myself as I can, but appreciating life. I live every day like it's my last. I make memories every day. If one of my daughters want to go to lunch, it's like, I want to stop and do that because I know they're not going to remember the money I made. They will remember the lunches we had.
But I do want to go back to the Live Your Legacy Summit because, like I said, Ray and I met at a domestic violence rally. But then I had the privilege to speak at her Live Your Legacy Summit, and that was empowering other women. So explain why you started that and what it's about. And I'm assuming after the pandemic, we're going to have those back.
Oh, yes, we are. Yeah, I miss it. Oh, I miss events. I had met Tori Johnson, you know, she does Deals and Steals and Good Morning America now. And I'd met her and I just was coming out of winning the Emmy for my TV show, which was back in like 2010 when we were, the economy was crashing and all that horrible stuff going on. And I remember Wes Sargentson, who was one of the NBC news anchors that had won like 9 Emmys. And he goes, he helped me direct this particular episode. And he goes, you know, Ray, any other year than this year, if you'd won the Emmy, sponsors would be lining up for you. I'm like, oh, great. So any other year, but this year, I should have been successful. Again, over, under, around, or through. So long story short, I met another phenomenal woman on the phone through a friend. It was Tori Johnson. And she was doing all these women's events, Spark and Hustle, all this great stuff. And she goes, she saw my dilemma. No money, had a passion, but there was no way to monetize it at that moment in that economy. So she goes, why aren't you doing women's events? She knew all about me and all the success and all I was trying to do. And she said, you can take that love for the nonprofits and put together a live event. And sponsors love being at events. They love sponsoring events more than TV, where they're more distant from people. They don't know who's watching, whole nine yards. And I said, oh, well, I don't know how. I've seen a lot of bad events in my day and the host like pulling out their hair. She goes, no, they don't do it right. She goes, I will show you how to do it. So I hired her to show me how to do it. And the Live Your Legacy Summit was born, teaching women how to be successful no matter what. I bring in speakers that talk about being successful despite obstacles. And then we honor nonprofits and people giving back to the community. And there's no selling. It was one of those events where it wasn't about selling. It's about women coming to this event and leaving knowing that that woman can do it. We had Kim Coles on the stage. We had Melissa Carter on stage. You need to meet Melissa Carter. She's amazing.
Those two names, I don't know if they go in the same sentence together, but that's cool. I appreciate that.
We've had Jeff Foxworthy and his daughter. We've had Brenda Cooper, who did the wardrobe for The Nanny and won a Primetime Emmy for that. But I didn't want to show them for them being like, wow, like look at them. It's no real women doing real things. And you can too. Very relatable. And then during the mastermind times is when the coaches could could sell a small ticket item if they wanted to draw, if somebody wanted to buy from them, but very inspirational, not selling and helping charities and just helping women walk out of there saying, I can do this. Because I don't know a woman that doesn't have an obstacle. And if she doesn't have one today, she'll have one tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And we just got to make it through. So I can encourage and get everybody, you know, excited, enthusiastic all day long. But if you don't have the tools to make it through the bad times and the techniques and strategies and the will to make it through when everything hits the fan tomorrow, then you know you can plow through it no matter what. And that's what it's about. And we would have done our 13th, our lucky 13th, 2020. What?
Well,
I don't think
it's a coincidence that the 13th year fell on 2020. That's kind of weird.
I know. Maybe it is unlucky. Maybe I skipped 13, but I can't do it this year because I don't want to do it virtual because my summit is all about people and hugs and being in that corner, being able to have that private conversation with somebody. And I heard that's what we're really missing. We have all these virtual events going on right now, which is great, but we don't have that private time at the table. We can say, oh, have you heard? You know, not that it's gossip, but it's filling in your friend sitting next to you or when you meet in the bathroom, when you talk about something, we're all always together and there is no private conversation. Unless you're chatting, then you make a separate phone call, fine. But I want to have my summit, my 13th one in person. So it'll probably be 2022 before Melissa and I can do it safely because she's going to be there. And so are you, Jen. So
awesome. I'm in. Tell me, what does live your legacy mean?
It means you live a life that when you're gone, people remember you how you wanted them to remember. And women, we get caught up living everybody else's legacy. What is our children doing?
Yes.
Their dreams coming through too. Our husbands, our spouse, our significant other, your partner. It's all about somebody else. And I want women to not, all the kids grow up and fly the coop and you have your home empty nester like, oh, what's my purpose now? And you might pass away. You might not have 20 more years. We don't know. We saw what COVID did and we've lost 400,000 people.
It's half a million at this point.
Oh God, half a million people. So I want women to just be living on purpose, living their legacy today. So when that day comes, which it will come, we just don't know when. We know that we left the footprint that we wanted to. We designed it. We helped the charity and a cause we wanted to help. We didn't wait till, well, when the kids move out, I'll give back. You know, that'll be my retirement years or when I'm done with this or when I get a divorce or when I meet my significant other. Stop all the waiting. It's what can you do today just to make somebody else's life better?
Well, Rhea, we're going to end. We have something called the Frenzy Five. And when you say, and also to your family is one thing I thought as you spoke that, because on the Frenzy's Facebook page, we posted a picture several weeks ago of a woman who was a Holocaust survivor. Okay. You talk about one person making a difference. And she said, I think she turned 99 or something. And she's like, okay, for my birthday, I want my entire family to get together in front of the praying wall in Israel. Forgive me for, I'm not Jewish. The Wailing Wall. And she said, I want my family to be in that picture, all her descendants. Honey, it was this, I forgot how, 100 something people, like all her children, grandchildren, great grandchildren. So it was like, and the post is, if you don't think one person can't make a difference, this woman has populated a country. Like she, her, the picture looks like a nation coming together. So you could just be known for your family. Cause I thought she wanted that picture and everybody traveled to be in that picture. Cause obviously they don't live in the same place. So she was important enough for them that she made that request and they went ahead and did it. So
that's the legacy right there.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So the Frenzy Five, Araya.
Oh gosh.
Five questions, top of mind answer. Okay.
Oh, okay.
It's not a test, Araya.
You made me count to 10 before I started. That was a test.
I mean, the math was threw her off. The literature, the highbrow literature threw her off. Okay, it's going to be all right. Here we go. Number one, what is your cozy, happy place?
The zoo.
That's so sweet. What's your favorite framed thing in your home? So this way you can't start talking about that Emmy again.
No, favorite framed thing is a picture of me and my family.
Oh. Number three, what's your most memorable birthday?
When I turned 50 and my family all got together and surprised me with my best friend coming up from Florida. And I got so shocked that she was there because I thought she was at the doctor's office and I fell over on a table next to me. And this couple is looking at me like, what the heck is happening here? So my feet are sticking up in the air and my best friend's there. I'm like, yay. It was the best.
So cute. You're so awesome. All right. Number four, what's a daily routine or ritual that you stick to?
Not having one.
That's an answer.
Feeding my pets. It has to be feeding my pets. Only thing I do on a regular basis.
All right. I love that. All right. And number five of the Frenzy Five, what fashion trend did you jump on?
During COVID?
Any time in your life.
Yoga pants. Yoga pants. That's probably it. I probably jumped on all the trends as they go. And my daughter Angel is such a fashion diva. It's like, Mom, no, not that trend. That one's not for you.
I love it. Araya, so thank you for being on the show.
Oh, thank you, ladies, for all you do. Love you, love you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So much. This has been so enlightening. I'm just so in awe of your story. Thank you for sharing it with
pleasure,
us.
My pleasure. Just live through it. You guys are amazing. Keep up. Keep it up.
Let's grab a quick question out of the You Don't Know My Life box. Feel free to steal these and use them with your tribe. You can use them at work or with your partners or friends.
All right, here is the question. What's an unusual theme party that you threw or attended?
Oh, gosh, this is so embarrassing.
Those are the best stories. Go ahead.
Long, long time ago in my 20s, I hosted a couple's Valentine's party that had naughty games and naughty prizes. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay. Oh, I can't. We can't. We don't even get a hint. I know your mama listens to this, but I mean,
I can't. I don't remember a ton of it. I just remember there being some sort of like truth or dare and answering a truth question about the longest big O I had ever had. And okay. I still regret to this day just blurting that out loud in front of a party. I remember there being hilarious gifts given to some of the couples, and it was a raucous time. Everybody had major hangovers the next day.
I was going to say there's some libation going on if you're
embarrassing. I can't believe I even said that out loud just now.
No, it's not I mean, come on. It's a theme. You answer the question. I'll ask y'all fair more about it. Okay. So the theme.
Yeah. Thank you. My mother listens.
Yes. The theme party that I hosted, which it was impromptu, but in hindsight, I'm like, that was kind of cool. It was in my 20s, early 20s, broke. And I knew all my friends that I worked with were broke. This is before radio. I worked at Oxford Bookstore in Atlanta, iconic bookstore at the time, if anybody's an Atlantan. And it was all my Oxford Bookstore friends. And so I said that it was my birthday. That's what it was. I was hosting my own birthday party, but I said, the only gifts you can bring are those you didn't pay for. And I said, I leave it up to you on
money.
And so it was, and I said, I'd rather you not steal, but I don't. You know, I don't know. I don't want to know. And so I remember getting basically it was things that people had in their home that they didn't want anymore. And so I got a pink flamingo for the yard. I got tarot cards. I remember that. But I got a bunch of gifts and we all laughed. And the stories, you talk about storytelling. It ended up being a storytelling party because when I would unwrap the gifts, the person who gave it to me had a great story on how they obtained that. So it wasn't like, oh, I went to the store and I bought you this or on Amazon and I got you this. It was like, oh, well, 5 years ago when I was all into tarot and I got this and I had this experience with, you know, and so it was really, really cool party. So I thought, you know, I'm going to have to bring that up again to where it's the, you know, it's don't, I want gifts that you don't pay for. And then we get to experience what the stories are around those. I may have to resurrect
that. How about a frenzy party?
We should do a frenzy party like that.
A frenzy party like that. Because, you know, pretty soon we're going to be able to gather again and be in person with people. Yes. And everybody, we can make it like a white elephant where everybody has to bring a gift to the party that they didn't pay for.
Right.
And then we can do the white elephant trading around and get to hear the stories behind each one of the gifts.
And the story of where this comes from.
Yes.
Yes. And maybe some of the prizes from that party you talked about might show up at this.
Or maybe we host two parties. We could do a Valentine's party for all women and we could make it kind of sexy.
See?
What do you think? Could.
Yes. There's no bad ideas, Jen Hobby. No bad ideas. All right. So Jen Hobby, now that we've all, you know, we've warmed up the gears, has your pep talk for the week.
Okay. So we talked a lot today about overcoming obstacles. You got to hear Aurea's amazing story. You got to hear Melissa's story and her son's beautiful analogy of overcoming the ocean, because really anything is the ocean and everybody has one. So every single person has an obstacle to overcome and they're all different and yours is completely unique to you. So you have to find your unique way to keep your spirit alive through those obstacles and with those obstacles, because it's not like we're ever going to live a life without them. I met a woman one day named Jeannie, and Jeannie changed my life because I met her when my daughter was going through cancer. So that is the toughest thing that I've ever had to overcome, is to get through her cancer battle and journey. And I can't even describe to you how surreal it feels to walk into a hospital wing when just 24 hours earlier you were living a regular life, and then fast forward, you're living in a hospital and you have no idea what's going on. People are telling you terms that you cannot understand. You're terrified for your child's life and you're just in a weird place. I was just in it wasn't even dark yet. I got to a dark place, but it was just confusion. Almost to where my vision was blurred. Mm-hmm. That's the place I was in when I got to meet Jeannie. And Jeannie is another cancer mom. And her child was in the hospital battling cancer for the second or third time at the time I met her. And she had a bright personality and a smile on her face. Mm-hmm. And Jeannie and her daughter, Monica, who are just amazing, were playing Pokemon Go on the hospital floor. Okay. They were running around. They were having so much fun catching Pikachus or Chukichus or whatever they're called.
Because it's VR. So that means that they had to go down the hall and their camera would show these things in the hallway that they would have to capture on their phone. So it's an active game. Yes.
Here I am in this bizarre fog spinning place of misery, trying to figure which end is up. And there's Jeannie and Monica playing games on their phone and coming to greet us to the family. And I was like, what is going on with this lady? And I got to know her. And what I learned from her, just by example, she never sat me down and said knee to knee, hey, Jen, let me tell you something you need to learn. She just by example was joyful. And this is a woman who was battling cancer with her daughter for the second or third time at that point. And she welcomed us to this family of support. She was happy. And this is hard to say, but it's like, what I learned is that if their little lives were going to be short, they should be happy. They should be happy. And that's where I'm so grateful to her for that lesson and showing me. They made banners and posters and colored things and played music, and they lived a happy life. And their ocean was cancer. Not everybody went home with their babies.
Right.
You know, I'm one of the lucky ones who got to take my baby home from that hospital, but I also took home lessons for a lifetime. And I am telling you, Jeannie taught me so much. And if you can take her story that she can play Pokemon Go
or Pokemon Joe is another, you know, right. It's offshoot of that, but yeah,
that could be the sequel.
That's right.
But if she can play Pokemon Go through cancer, and she can bring joy and light and love into the midst of the toughest battle, then you too can dance in the rain. You can do it. And that's what she showed me.
Yeah. No, I think that's absolutely beautiful. And it's true that we all wonder what is the meaning of life. And I think we are so, I think it's probably very simple. I don't think we are anywhere close to understanding it. But I think that what you just said is on the right path, where is you have to be able to face anything with a smile on your face. And that goes into not being the victim, right? You're not the victim. And
it's not to say that you can't be sad. It's not to say that I was doing anything wrong by being in a dark place or in a fog, but it's just to remember there's still joy in the midst
of the storm. Again, 80% mental, 20% physical, like I said before. The biggest struggles require wisdom. And sometimes they bloom into wisdom. Mm-hmm. Like that. And again, is that the meaning of life? Like, is the obstacles what whoever your source is brings into your path? They're there for a reason. And the reason is because what's on the other side, whether you get to bring your baby home or not, is what is the blessing. And it's hard. It's hard not to crumble, but mm-hmm.
It is so hard. And it's so hard in the midst of it to find the little tiny sprinkles of joy. Mm-hmm. But those little tiny sprinkles can grow. And that's what I learned from Jeannie, is that I was going to do it differently. Just from the moment I saw her and how she was doing it, I was like, you know what? We do have a choice on how we're going to do it. So each day we played music. And when Reese was in the hospital, she was a little baby. So we played, you know, lullabies and little kid songs. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands and yep. all the things that she probably would have been doing in the mommy and me music class. And
yeah,
but she was in the hospital. We did all the things. We turned the lights bright. We kept our door open as much as we could. We tried to change it from that moment forward.
Yeah. Talk about the ripple effect. Cause Jeannie probably learned that from her daughter. You said Monica's her name. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, look at Monica and her life and how she rippled to her mom and then rippled to you and then rippled to Reese and the rest of your family. And then you don't know the other people on that floor that probably witnessed what you did.
Yeah.
And decided, I'm going to do something different. Because just like pain is contagious, so is happiness and joy. Yes. And it's worth it.
I want to say to the women listening, you are the emotional leader of your household. And that is through crisis or not, especially through crisis. But you are the emotional leader of your household. Everyone will follow you. A lot of times we talk about how women take a back seat to the other people in their family. We care for others. We're the caregivers, that sort of thing. But emotionally, you are the leader. Your partner will follow you. Your children will follow you. The grandparents will follow you. So in the midst of our cancer battle with Reese, everyone was going to take their cues on how to handle it from me.
Mm-hmm.
If I was down in the dumps, they weren't going to be happy around me. Right. They were going to go, oh, we have to respect the mother and follow the way she is.
Right.
So it's a tremendous responsibility, but it's also a tremendous opportunity. Right. Because remember, you are the emotional leader of your household.
I think that's fantastic. Fantastic advice. And I ask you to please subscribe to the Frenzy Podcast, because these are the conversations we have. We'd love for you to leave a review. Let us know how this affects you. You know, the one thing that Jen and I, since we're used to being on the radio and getting callers, yeah. Here we can't get callers. So that's why we ask
you. We need to hear from you.
Exactly. So that's why we ask you to leave a review, because that's the only way we hear from you. You can also sign up for our weekly email. We are going to send the episode right into your email box, your inbox. So if you're somebody that, yeah, I don't want to mess with all that, we'll send it to you. We promise not to bug the crap out of you. sending that each week. Sign up at thefrenzy.com. Also, YouTube, look us up, The Frenzy. And you can always email us, melissa@thefrenzy.com and jen@thefrenzy.com, because we would love to hear from you and your stories as well.
And is there a friend of yours who would enjoy this episode? Definitely please share this with her. And if you like this show, please share about it on your social media. You can tag us so we can see it, and then we can share it as well.
Thanks to listeners who have subscribed to our email list at thefrenzy.com. Three new names: Carrie Jacobs, thank you, love. Deanna Anderson, thank you. And Christy Olds, thank you very much.
Soundtrack produced by Tammy Hurt for Placement Music. Written and recorded by Placement Music creative team member Mark Daniels.
The Frenzy's graphic design is by Helen Vickers and web design by Caden Jacobs.
These are real stories by real women. And now it's time to go share yours with the world. Thank you all so much for the gift of your time. We know there are a lot of demands on it. And the fact that we are in your ears and you're hanging out with us really means the world to us. We appreciate you.
All right. So until next week, trust your gut.
Share your story.
Stop lying about your age. All right. We'll see you next week.
Okay?
I don't know, but we'll try again next week.
Try again.